Flying the Flag by Alex Shearer, starring Dinsdale Landon as Her Majesty's Ambassador, Mr. Mackenzie, with Peter Aker, Moya Leslie, Stephen Greif, and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikoff. Submarine Diplomacy.
Helen.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Helen, do you have any idea what's going on out there?
Sorry, sir, in what respect?
The flag, Helen.
The Union Jack, sir?
Well, I don't mean the Stars and Stripes. This is the second morning I've come in. It's only just been making its way up the pole. It is supposed to ascend at 8 a.m. sharp and remain there until sunset. Not casually slither up like a snake with a hangover at 9:15, have a bleary look around, and be back down in time for 11:00.
Yes, sir, I'll speak to the caretaker.
I sometimes wonder whether that caretaker isn't trying to sabotage this mission.
Well, I have mentioned it to him before, sir, but I think he's got trouble at home.
Helen, we've all got trouble at home. What distinguishes man from beast is the fact that he always has trouble at home. Oh, and another thing. He's got the flag on the wrong side of the pole.
Well, I don't think that's his fault, sir. He's dyslexic.
There's been a grave decline in standards recently. Why, at the reception of the commissariat last night, there was a diplomat from an embassy which shall be nameless, and do you know what he was doing?
No, sir.
He was wearing his gloves, Helen.
Good heavens. Is that bad, sir?
Bad? It's appalling. He shouldn't be wearing them. He should have been carrying them. People who carry white gloves are diplomats. Those who wear them do conjuring tricks.
Yes, sir.
It was the same the other day. I only got an 18-gun salute when I'm entitled to a 19-gun one.
Awful, sir. Did they send the other one on later?
For myself, Helen, these things are of no importance. But it's insult to the Crown and to the country to give only 18 bangs to a 19-bang man. And talking protocol, I'd better send a visiting card round to the commissariat. Would you mind, Helen?
Not at all, sir. Pour in Mercier?
Yes, if you'd mark it.
In ink or pencil,
sir? Pencil, hand delivered.
Cornet?
I think so.
Corner turn up, sir, or corner turned down?
Either or, Helen, either or.
Upper left-hand corner, sir, or lower right-hand corner? Or shall I just ring up and say, thanks for a lovely evening?
No, easier is not better, Helen. These are conventions established by usage over hundreds of years. They may be outmoded, outdated, and totally fatuous, but they are conventions, and as such, we must adhere to them.
Yes, sir. Oh, Colonel Surikoff rang first thing, and I gave him a 10 o'clock appointment.
Oh, fine. Show him in when he gets here. Oh, and could I have some coffee, please, Helen?
Certainly, sir. A mug or a cup?
Oh, whatever that is, Helen. Whatever that is. Let's not get bogged down with trivialities.
Morning, Helen.
Morning, Willie. You're early. It's not lunchtime yet.
I've been out on the firm's business, as a matter of fact. Important business.
Oh, yes. I didn't know we had any left.
Well, I went down to the commissariat to stuff my visiting card through the letterbox to thank them for last night's reception.
Well, I hope you remember to turn a corner down.
Oh, damn! I forgot! Where's the procedure manual? And what are you supposed to do when you've left your card but you didn't turn the corner down?
Commit suicide, will you?
Well, I just hope they don't take it personally. You don't think they'll be affronted, do you? I mean, not turning down the corner of your visiting card could be regarded as a provocative act.
Have you ever thought, Willie, that it might be time you took arms against a sea of protocol?
Well, it's not me, Helen, but everyone else expects it.
That's what they all say.
Especially old Mac. He's an absolute stickler for it.
You're every bit as bad as he is. Bogged down in gloves and visiting cards because you've nothing better to do.
Well, you've got to do something to relieve the tedium, Helen. A diplomat's job is like a pilot's. 90% boring routine and 10% panic. Most of the time you're just sitting, checking your instruments.
Oh, I see. So that's what you're doing in your office all day, Willie. You're sitting, checking your instruments.
Have you seen what's going on outside?
The road drills? Yes. The comrades from the People's Electricity Board have challenged the comrades from the People's Gas Board to a Labour contest.
God, not another Labour contest. That's the third one this month.
Yeah, all these Labour contests. I don't know how they ever get any work done.
Helen, look, down in the harbour.
What?
There's a trawler coming in, under escort.
Well, what about it?
Well, it's flying the flag.
Colonel Surikoff and his gloves to see you, sir.
Thank you, Helen. Sure did.
Please come in, Colonel.
Mr. Ambassador.
Colonel Surikoff, please do come in.
Mr. Ambassador, I must protest.
So early in the day, Colonel, can't I offer you some refreshment first?
Oh, well.
What would you like? It's a little early for.
Oh, absolutely, Mr. Ambassador. I quite agree. Far too early for coffee and biscuits. Let us have a whiskey instead.
Yes. Well, I'll just watch you, shall I?
You will not join me?
No, I'll stick to the caffeine for the moment.
You should be careful, Mr. Ambassador. Drinking coffee this early in the day. Myself, I find if I drink coffee at all before lunchtime, I will be awake all afternoon.
Yes, not a good thing in your job, Colonel, I'm sure. All those speeches to sleep through.
Oh, it is terrible, Mr. Ambassador, what we diplomats have to endure. Now, what did I come for?
Not to be objectionable, I think, Colonel.
Ah, yes, thank you for reminding me, Mr. Ambassador. I must protest, and not for the first time. The matter of British trawlers fishing in our territorial waters has come up often too once. But the time for protesting is over, Mr. Ambassador. The time has come for examples to be made. We have apprehended a British trawler 20 miles inside our fishing zone. A flagrant breach of international regulations.
I can't comment on things I know nothing about, Colonel.
You can't? Really? I have to do it all the time.
But I do try to avoid it if possible. Besides, as you know, fishing limits and quotas are no longer my province. So where is this trawler now?
It is being brought in under armed escort and will remain impounded until a fine is paid.
Well, I think we'd better speak to the ship's captain then, Colonel.
If you would. I will be interviewing him myself. For I wonder, was the boat fishing or just pretending to fish, but in reality taking a closer look?
Now, taking a closer look at what, Colonel?
At whatever there is to take a closer look at.
Would you have anything in your territorial waters worth taking a look at, Colonel?
Us? Why, have you? So, a drop more whiskey, Mr. Ambassador. It is almost time for 10:15s.
Well, if you're sure it won't make you drowsy, Colonel, I would not want to be responsible for you going to sleep too early in the day. You might miss your afternoon nap.
Hello? Ahoy there! Is anyone aboard?
Seeing there's nine of us standing here looking directly at you, laddie, I think there must be.
What? Oh, Captain Warner? So I didn't see you up on that deck. I'm from the British Embassy, Captain. William Frost.
Well, you got here in a raging hurry. Well, we docked about 3 hours ago. Held up by a cocktail party, were you?
Well, yes, I'm sorry I wasn't here to meet you, but we weren't informed, you see, until... Well, anyway, look, can I come aboard?
Don't ask me, ask the goon squad there. They're not letting anyone on or off the ship.
Who? Oh, the guard. Oh, no, that's all right, Captain. I'll show him my visiting card.
They're down in my cabin.
I wonder if I should turn the corner down.
So I winched up, took her out past North Cape Bank, set the nets, and this time we're pulling them in. Then... one of their gunboats comes into view.
Oh, so, in fact, you were already fishing in their waters?
No, we were outside. It was a grey area, I admit, but we were not at that point in communist territorial waters.
I mean, they didn't do anything. They just observed.
Well, no, they did warn us off, but I double-checked my coordinates. We were outside their waters, so I thought, I thought, to hell with this. I was within my rights. Besides, I had a big shoal of cod showing up on the sonar. We'd have winched up in another half hour, filled the hole and turned for home.
And then what?
Well, I'm running the trawl away from their territorial waters, deliberately going in the opposite direction, so they can plainly see there's no provocative intent.
So, at that point, the patrol boat leaves?
Aye. The trawl's filling, there's a strong breeze maybe, but conditions weren't bad. When slowly I started to realise, we're going backwards.
Backwards? What, you mean the engines had stopped and the current was dragging you back?
No. The engines were still at full power. Something is pulling us backwards, Mr. Frost. Something huge, immensely powerful, entangled in the nets.
Oh, a whale?
A whale, with a periscope and nuclear warheads on its torpedoes.
A submarine?
The biggest catch I've ever had. Plain as your eye on the sonar.
So, did you try to establish radio contact?
Oh, they weren't talking. The submarine skipper tries to manoeuvre to free himself and just makes it worse. It goes on, dragging us backwards for, 2.5-3 hours. In the end, I had no choice but to cut the nets.
Why didn't you cut them straight away?
Have you any idea how much trawl nets cost? When they're unravelled, they're bigger than Wembley Stadium.
Gosh, yes, I suppose that is a lot of string.
String? It's not string.
I mean, you're insured, aren't you?
Oh, insurance, yes. But my career isn't insured. A captain who cuts his nets, no matter for what good reason, is not insured against his employers deciding not to re-employ him. Anyway, eventually I had to cut them, by which time we're so deep into communist waters the clams are singing in the red flag. The patrol boat reappears, signals us to heave to, and here we are.
But if your story's true, Captain, and I'm sure it is, the submarine would be liable for the damage to your neck.
I certainly hope so, Mr. Frost. But I regret I didn't get a look at its number plates or a chance to exchange particulars.
Well, there aren't many countries with nuclear submarines in that area.
There aren't many countries who have nuclear submarines in any area. I've narrowed it down to a choice of three myself. So what happens now?
Well, you leave it with me, Captain. I'll confer with the Ambassador. Meantime, you sit tight.
Well, I wasn't actually planning on going anywhere.
Well, let's be optimistic. It's a very convincing story.
Convincing? The truth ought to be convincing.
Yes, the only snag is, Captain. That's not what they say.
Well, something will have to be done, William. I'm already receiving telexes from London. Awkward questions are being asked in the house.
Yes, sir.
And as usual, convincing answers are not forthcoming. The words piracy on the high seas are being bandied about on the back benches and finding hear-hears to support them.
Didn't take them long to get the clichés out, eh, sir?
Oh, they're dusting them off, William, at a hitherto unprecedented rate. Sad to say, the spirit of the Armada is once again in dire peril of reasserting itself. Anyway, so you felt that Captain Warner's version of events had the ring of truth to it, did you, William?
He convinced me, sir. I'm not easily taken in.
No, William, no. No flies on you. However, it doesn't quite tally with Colonel Surikoff's version.
Well, it wouldn't, sir, if it was their submarine.
Assuming there was a submarine at all.
Yeah, you don't think he'd make up a story like that, do you, sir?
If you were dangling your maggots in someone else's territorial waters, William, when a gunboat full of gamekeepers chugged up alongside, I'm sure you'd suddenly hit on a rich vein of plausible stories with which to explain away your presence in the vicinity.
Yeah, but he'd hardly cut his own nets if there were no submarines, sir.
Wouldn't he? In the pursuit of innocence, William, guilty parties often wreak untold havoc upon themselves.
Yeah, but say his story's true, and it was a communist submarine.
But say his story's true, and it wasn't a communist submarine.
One of ours, sir.
It's not impossible, is it?
Hmm? Yes, but if it was one of our submarines, what? I mean, the Foreign Office would have told you, wouldn't they?
I never cease to be touched, William, by your faith in the integrity of the Foreign Office.
Yeah, but, sir, but if they know it was a British submarine and don't tell you, well, that means that you have to negotiate with Colonel Surikoff armed with what could be nothing but a pack of lies.
So it's business as usual, William. What else is new? Diplomats are like barristers. It's irrelevant whether we believe in our client's innocence. We just have to make out a good case to get them off the charges.
Well, it's hardly ethical, though, is it, sir?
There you go again, William. Worrying about matters that don't concern us. I will therefore have to insist, Colonel, on full compensation for the damage to the trawling gear and for the loss of the catch, plus additional payments for loss of earnings incurred while languishing here in port.
My position and my instructions are clear. The Traveller will remain in harbour until £50,000 sterling is paid.
50? Don't you think that's a little steep, Colonel?
A little uphill, maybe, but the examples have to be made. Once the fine is paid, they will be free to leave. Meanwhile, the crew remain confined under ship arrest, and I trust you will be answerable for their conduct.
Oh, yes, of course, Colonel. I don't wish to labour the point, but say there was a submarine.
If there were a submarine, Mr. Ambassador, let us be truthful. Davy Smith has many in his locker. Perhaps the nets were snared by a trident, and I do not mean Neptune's.
The British submarines, Colonel, are not in the habit of sticking their periscopes into other people's sovereign waters.
Mr. Ambassador, if your submarines got any closer to our coastline, they would be surfacing in our swimming pools.
With respect, Colonel, your own submarines are spotted so regularly off the coast of Scotland, people go down to the beach to feed them.
Mr. Ambassador, our submarines may be underwater, but their conduct is all above board. No one has greater respect for international aviation regulations than the captains of our submarines.
Oh, I can well believe it, Colonel. Well, I relay your ultimatum to Captain Warner, but I have no power to compel him to pay the fine. In fact, I might even advise him against doing so.
You must act as you see fit, Mr. Ambassador. But you may tell Captain Warner from me that, in my opinion, his submarine story is nothing but red kippers.
Oh, you're the owner, Captain.
We're all the owners. The boat's cooperatively run by the crew and myself. I didn't tell your Mr. Frost that because contrary to what I did tell him. We've no insurance.
None.
Insurance costs a lot of money, Mr. McKenzie.
Losing nets and gear doesn't come cheap, Captain.
Yes, but insurance premiums fall due monthly. I can't put in a claim for compensation. I've no claim to put in. Now, we might be able to weather this loss of gear, but as for this fine...
Well, there is the boat itself, Captain. You could raise the money using it as security.
When I say we co-own the boat, I mean we all chip in for the higher purchase. My house is up as collateral. The boat belongs to the bank.
I see it. I assume the bank is not aware that its investment is uninsured.
What do you know? When the policy lapsed, I must have forgot to tell them. How terribly absent-minded I'm getting.
Well, I've heard of cowboy builders, Captain, but I must admit that cowboy fishermen are a new one on me.
If it wasn't for British diplomacy, I'd never be in this fix. Nor the British fishing industry in the state it is.
I appreciate your feelings, Captain, but it is not a diplomat's job to formulate policy. It is only his task to execute it.
What are you, then, a rubber stamp?
At one time, Captain, a diplomat had enough authority to declare war on his country's behalf without even phoning home. But those days of independent action and initiative ceased trading and went into liquidation long ago.
So what do you suggest?
Well, you could tell them that you're unable to pay the fine.
Throw myself on their mercy. Have they got much?
Well, who knows? It's a bit like everything else here, Captain. Some days the shops are full of it. Other days there's none to be heard.
I don't suppose you could see your way clear.
Not 50,000. Not from petty cash, Captain. No, I'm afraid not.
Well, I'll not let them have the boat, Mr. McKenzie.
Well, leave it with me for a while, then I'll see what other accommodations can be made.
Well, I can't wait indefinitely. We've 60 tons of fish in the hold. It's refrigerated, but it won't last forever. And it's no pleasure for my crew to be cooped up on board.
Well, I'll see what we can do to make your ordeal more comfortable, Captain.
Yes. Perhaps we could organise a little party or something. Do they have anything like women in this country?
So, if you'd care to go along as well, Helen...
Oh, yes, sir, I'd be delighted. I've never been to a cocktail party on a trawler before.
No, I can't say I have either, sir. Still, it's a good opportunity, I suppose, to push the boat out.
Yes, well, it's more of a public relations exercise, William. A few foreign correspondents will be there. A little show of solidarity might improve the crew's morale.
Yes, though, from what I saw the crew, sir, I don't think cocktail parties are exactly up their street. In fact, I'm not even sure glasses are up their street.
Anyway, I shall attend for an hour with Mrs. McKenzie. You and Helen are, of course, free to go or not, as you wish.
I'll be there, sir. I'll just go and think of what to wear.
Oh, a pair of waders and a sou'wester might be nice, Helen.
Thank you, William.
William.
Sir?
I seem to detect a measure of reluctance on your part to attend these nautical festivities. Perhaps you have something better to do tonight.
Well, I did sort of have a provisional engagement with the cultural attaché at the Swedish Embassy, sir.
Oh, the Swedish Embassy, William. Indeed.
Yes, sir. Quite an intelligent young lady, really, sir.
Oh, is she? Yes, good. Well, I am glad.
Got her own sauna, actually, sir.
Has she? A somewhat more alluring company, I would imagine, than 9 depressed trawlermen in a boat full of fish.
Well, she might have the edge, sir, yes.
Oh, good. Well, attendance is entirely voluntary, William, and your presence or lack of it will not make one iota of difference to my assessment report at the end of the year.
The character assassination. I mean... That's very fair of you, sir.
It's a matter of complete indifference to me, William, whether you attend this function or not.
Oh, well, in that case, sir, I might just...
It's just that if I were in your shoes, William, I'd be there, that's all.
Yes, I did think I might take a look in later, sir.
A look in?
Oh, well, several looks in. A long, hard stare, really.
Well, I'll look forward to seeing you there, then, William, and Mrs. McKenzie. You know how much she enjoys chatting to you.
Yes, sir. And always such interesting company, such a great fund of stories. And it's always a pleasure to hear them again. And again.
Yes, and again. Well, I'll be off now, then, William.
Sorry, sir.
I think I'll discreetly slip away.
But you've only been here 10 minutes, sir.
Yes, well, I'm not much on nautical chat, William, and as you seem to be doing so well...
Oh, well, thanks very much, sir. Yes, I've got the addresses of 3 good tattoo parlours and 5 blue video shops already. Very fruitful evening. Aren't you staying for the shanties?
No, sailors with their fingers in their ears was never my style. Have you seen Mrs. McKenzie at all?
Oh, yes, I was listening... talking to her earlier, sir. She was over by the door giving the rum a punching.
I'm sorry, supervising the cocktails, that is.
Yes, well, you stay and fly the flag a while, William. Well, I suppose I'd better say goodbye to the captain. Where is he?
I think he's showing Helen the bridge, sir.
Oh, well, convey my regards to William. I'll see you tomorrow. Didn't you bring your Swedish attaché?
She's not what you'd call big on fish, sir.
Well, just stay another hour or so, for form's sake.
Yes, sir. Bye then, sir. How come I get all the good jobs?
Morning, Willie.
Oh, morning, Helen. Still is morning, is it? Hope you don't mind me using your typewriter. It's just, seeing it's getting on for lunchtime, I thought maybe you weren't coming in.
It's only 9:45, William. My alarm clock didn't wake me up.
Oh, didn't he? It.
Here, move over. I'll finish the typing for you.
All right. Thanks. Enjoy the party last night, did you, Helen?
Yes, thank you. Did you?
You seemed to be quite deeply in conversation with Captain Warner when I left.
Was I? Yes, I might have spoken to him.
He's an odd-looking sort, really, isn't he?
Not really. I happen to think he was rather attractive, in a grizzled sort of way.
Oh, yes. Mind you, he's obviously getting on a bit.
I would hardly call 45 getting on, William.
Oh, 45, is he? You found that out then? Well, no age at all. No. Got one in every port, I expect, though. A man like him, eh?
Got one what, William?
Oh, nothing.
Do you want this typed, or don't you?
Well, just do that part. I'll fill in the blanks myself.
Yes, you seem very adept in filling in blanks, William.
Can't be very big, the bunks in those cabins.
William, I am running out of patience.
What? Did I say something?
I am running out of patience, Mr. Ambassador. 11 days now this boat has been in harbour.
Yes, Colonel, I realise that.
If you wanted to play waiting games, we have played waiting games. It is now time to play putting our feet down games.
Yes, Colonel.
That boat, Mr. Ambassador, is becoming a hazard to health.
There's been some trouble with the refrigeration system, Colonel, as I told you, and Captain Warner requests permission to go out to sea and dump the catch.
The refrigeration system has not broken down, Mr. Ambassador. Captain Warner has deliberately turned it off to try and force us to allow him to make to open water.
He has told me the unit is broken, Colonel, and, as an officer and a gentleman, I have no reason to disbelieve him.
He is a scoundrel and a liar, Mr. Ambassador, and I am collecting many good reasons for putting him in jail.
Oh, the British government won't like the smell of that, Colonel.
I do not care, Mr. Ambassador, for the smell of several tons of stinking fish not 200 meters from my office window.
I have done my utmost to mediate, Colonel, but I cannot compel Captain Warner to pay the fine.
I give him another 3 days. Then I will have the boat boarded and the catch dumped. Captain Warner and his crew will become your responsibility to repatriate, and we will retain the trawler until the fine is paid.
Captain Warner is still counterclaiming full compensation from your government for the damage done to his boat by your submarine.
We will see, Mr. Ambassador, who will budge first. 72 hours. Good day.
It is a bit high, sir.
Yes, close the window, William. The whole office smells like a fishmonger's. It's like this here. What's it like on board?
I should ask Helen, sir.
Helen?
She pops down for lunch, sir. I think she's a bit keen on Captain Warner.
If she'll brave a pong like that, she must be.
Sir, telex for you.
Oh, thank you, Helen. Anything crucial?
A submarine has finally surfaced, sir.
What?
Just outside communist territorial waters, near where Captain Warner's trawler was picked up. With trawl nets entangled round its rudder.
What? You mean he was actually telling the truth?
Well, didn't you think he was, sir?
Oh, he was lying his head off.
Well, the communists are going to have red faces now, sir.
But it's not a communist submarine.
Oh, we're not straight out of the frying pan, are we, Helen? It's not ours?
No, sir. It's American.
American? What a shame. When I woke up, I thought it wasn't going to be a good day. Ambassador Weinberg,
Helen. He phoned, sir. He's already on his way.
Well, we'll naturally pick up the tab, Mac, and pay for any damage.
Yes, but it does seem to be a time, Spider, that Uncle Sam's will pay for any damage attitude is in danger of becoming less of a last resort and more of a foreign policy.
Mac, had I known it was one of our subs, But you can't blame me if Washington doesn't dialogue me and I'm inadequately informationalized.
And had you known, you still wouldn't have said anything, Spyro. And had it been able to repair the damage without surfacing or limp inconspicuously home, you'd have kept your button-down lip tightly buttoned and left Captain Warner to stew in his trawler full of decomposing fish.
Mac, be fair. I don't roll the numbers. It's Washington calls the shots. And if they shoot craps and come up with snake eyes or lay down five aces at the end of the game and then look for a fall guy to take the rap, well, what am I? A stool pigeon.
The White House still in Washington, is it, Spyro? Or has it recently been relocated to Las Vegas?
Oh, Mac, in my place you'd have done the same and you know it.
So here's Captain Waller's account for damages, loss of earnings, loss of catch, mental anxiety.
Mental anxiety? Let me see that. Mackenzie, this guy is a crook. What is he flying, the skull and crossbones? This is piracy of the wallet. These claims are as genuine as Al Capone's tax returns. I'll have to have these scrutinizationalized.
Look, they're very modest, I would have said, Spider. I mean, you're getting off cheap. Deep pocket, short arm posture is not one I would advise you to adopt at this juncture.
Well, okay, I'll see it settled. I don't want to prejudice the special relationship, but I assure you, here and now, Mac, I knew nothing at all about any of this until I knew about it.
Oh, have you been studying your president's speeches, Spyro?
Yeah, I got the collected edition at home. You want a copy?
No, thank you, Spyro. I'll wait till it's remaindered.
Oh, well, I guess I better go and see Sir Rykoff and work out some kind of placatory scenario. I wonder how many bottles of bourbon that's going to take.
There goes a ship happier than it arrived, sir.
Certainly richer, William. And you can be able to afford some insurance now. Yes, I think we made our small but significant contribution to the revival of the British fishing industry. Well, I do have a lunch engagement, sir. Can I drop you two off at the embassy en route?
Oh, I think I'll walk back, thank you, sir.
I'll walk with Helen, sir.
Very well. I'll see you both after lunch. Oh, and don't be late. There's a lot of very important work to do.
Important work to do. We haven't had much of that in a while.
No.
All right, Helen.
Oh, fine, thanks, Willie. Fine.
Soon be back in Britain, then, the trawler.
Yes.
They'll probably be writing. Have a letter from him soon, I should think. Old, young-ish Captain Warner.
Yes, probably.
Nina's gone, too. You know, the cultural attaché at the Swedish embassy. She flew back to Stockholm this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would have gone to the airport to see her off, but old Mac insisted I'd be here.
Well, I'm sure you'll get a letter in a few days, Willie.
Oh, yes. Bound to.
Quite keen on her, weren't you?
Well, you know, I mean, it's the job, isn't it?
Can you keep a secret, Willie?
Official or unofficial?
Incriminating.
Oh, I should think so.
Michael, Captain Warner, was fishing inside their waters.
I thought he was. So the American sub was also in communist waters when it snagged him?
No. He saw the patrol boats, realised he wouldn't be able to outrun them with his nets down, so he ditched them and made up the whole submarine story. He thinks the American sub was spying in the area and ran into his nets later. He wrecked the sub. They didn't wreck the trawler.
What? So he should be paying the Americans money?
Yes. Nuclear submarine repairs are awfully expensive these days, Willie.
Oh, yes. I mean, the call-out charge alone, never mind spare parts.
You won't tell anyone?
Me? No. I've far weightier matters to attend to. Turning down the corner of my visiting card, you know, carrying my gloves about.
Shan't see them again, will we, Willie?
No. Still. Buy you lunch?
Why not?
What do you fancy?
Anything but fish.
In Submarine Diplomacy, you heard Dinsdale Landon as Mr. Mackenzie, Peter Aker as William, Moya Leslie as Helen, and David Goodland as Captain Warner, with Stephen Greif as the United States Ambassador and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikoff. Flying the Flag was written by Alex Shearer and produced by Pete Atkin.